Now, I was given the word by Kelly that they're finished over there, and the Cotton Industry Advisory Group is going to meet here shortly. So I'm going to move along fairly quickly. Yeah, go ahead. Join the meeting in progress, yeah. Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about this, but I'm going to move along fairly quickly, and so we...
We'll keep you on.
I understand. We started several years ago. There was an indication from doing a survey of cotton gins and dust explosions that there was reports that cotton gins had grain dust explosions. They asked us at CAKES to, in fact, do some testing. We've been doing some work with research on dust explosions since the 70s. And so we ran some tests, and our results were that cotton gin dust was not an explosible dust. We have published two papers, and we have two others that are in review at the current time. But what we found, basically, and I'm going to go through this thing fairly quickly, you have to have an MEC to have a dust explosion. MEC basically means that you have a minimum explosive concentration. You have to have ignition, and you have to have oxygen, you have containment. There's been a number of dust explosions. The OSHA special emphasis program occurred after the big dust explosion we had in Georgia. This is what's evolved into the testing of dust to see if it's explosive or not. This is basically the 20-liter chamber, totally enclosed. They take dust in that spherical chamber, they disperse it, and they hit it with a 10,000 joule ignition energy source. And what we learned a number of things, but number one is that's not an appropriate test for explosibility. It's not. Just measuring pressure? No. So I'm going to go down this thing fairly quickly and say, well, what is we think we have at that case? If you look at this slide right here, do you have a clicker there, Daniel?
They actually use a mouse.
All right, I'll use a mouse. If we're talking about right here, basically what they say in ASTM is you must have dust fully engulfed in the chamber. This is the dust in this little crucible out here hit with compressed air. This is sequential frames of a video. Now, you'll notice that the dust is... dust right here is not taking up the entire chamber. My goodness, it's not supposed to work that way. The dust actually gets contacts with the ignition source here. This is a hot bearing, a hot coil. It ignites, and there's a self-propagating flame through the cloud, and there's sufficient pressure to burst this diaphragm right here. Okay, that's a primary dust explosion. You will not have a secondary unless you have a primary. That's basically the process. Okay, let's come down here. We use three indicators in a CAKES chamber, not just pressure, but we use three indicators. Okay, let's come back and take a look. We look at the rupture of the diaphragm right here. And if it ruptures, what happens is you have a very fast vacuum generated. In the real world, if you're looking at forensic engineering and after dust explosion, you'll see some piping going into source where you had the primary dust explosion, it will be collapsed as a consequence of this vacuum right here. We have three tests right here, 50 grams cubic meter, and this is cornstarch. And in every case, we had a deflagration. In every case, we had this general consensus. Now, when we started this process 3 years ago, our assumption was that gin dust, if you get a concentration large enough, you'll get a reaction. I mean, we assumed that. We were wrong. We assumed wrongly. This is 730 grams per cubic meter. And we did three replications. And here is the pressure versus time curve for three replications. And here's what it is for cornstarch. Okay, so we had no difference. At no concentration of gin dust, zero concentration of gin dust, did we have a deflagration. Something's wrong here with their thing. So we came back and reported, this is 2 years ago, to the cotton industry, the cotton group here at the Beltway. Said, you know, it's not explosive dust. It's not. And then we said, well, Dr. Pointell, we know, we love you and all that kind of stuff. You've been around the block a few times, but we got to have somebody that is a commercial firm doing this thing we did. I paid for it out of chair funds, the commercial firm to do the testing, $4,000. And what they come back with is a Class A explosible dust using that 20-liter chamber. Okay. Now, I'm gonna skip some of this MECs with regard to this rest of this over here. How can it be a Class A explosive dust? Well, let's come back and take a look. We determine the MECs for a number of dust: cornstarch, sugar, rice flour, dust XX, rye flour, brown, whatever. And this you just run sequential tests and reduce the concentration so you get no reaction and you can find the MEC. And that's what we did. We did determine the MEC for each one of these things. By the way, we dried the dust and then we ran tests and et cetera. For cornstarch, it's 25, and the literature says 40 grams per cubic meter. We go all the way down here to cotton gin dust, and it's the only one that has no MEC. No concentration can we get there. So we got this curious and we got to working on it a little bit and says, why would it be that way? Well, it just so happens, if you're looking at gin trash, it has an energy content of something like 7,000 BTUs per pound. That's equivalent to about 16,000 joules per gram. Notice here, 1,400 joules per gram, which is about 700 BTUs per pound. Not a lot of energy in that gin dust. And then how much of that gin dust was inert? 87%. That means you put it in the crucible, but you burn the heck out of it, and you still got 87% of the mass in there. Okay. Now, here's the issue that is significant. What's happened in this Baltimore, Europe, and we have it in this country, everybody's saying, well, it's not explosible dust, it's combustible dust. And we need a combustible dust standard. NFPA 61, whatever. They want a combustible dust standard. I was asked to participate on a conference call with NGFA, because I've done some work in dust explosions, and they wanted me to take the place of this guy that retired up at Kansas State. And I tried to explain to him, you don't want a combustible dust standard, you want an explosible dust standard. Oh, well, all these high muck and mucks on conference call. You never get on a conference call with high muck and mucks that don't know nothing about nothing. I mean, there's no way you're going to get anything done. Okay, and I tried to explain to them, you don't want a combustible dust standard, you want an explosive dust standard. Here's the deal. This is the facts of life. Do we have potential for dust explosions in a cotton gin facility? Answer is no. You can quote me on that. You can go to the bank for that. Okay. If you're not going to have a primary, you're not going to have a secondary, you're not going to have a dust explosion. Okay. Do you have fires? Yeah. Are you going to have a dust explosion? No. Okay. If you want to argue, say, well, and I have some of the apostles, some of my former students want to argue with me. Said, Dr. Quinney, you're obstinate, and you've got, I mean, I've tried to explain to you that OSHA has branded cotton gin dust as combustible. Okay? Well, that's great. But you don't have an explosible dust. All dusts that are explosible are combustible. But not all combustible dust are explosible, and cotton gin dust is one of them. It's not explosive. Okay? And if you don't get emotional about this thing, say, well, I don't believe Dr. Pornell. I don't believe Dr. Pornell. He doesn't understand. OSHA has the right to brand cotton gin dust as explosible or combustible if they want to. And they have the right to say that combustible and explosible is the same thing. They don't. If the science doesn't justify the position you got, then you do not have the right to do that. Okay, that's the position I've got. And it's not going to change by any of my... I love my former students to death, but my former students come along, well, you can't, you're just barking up a wrong tree. Well, maybe, but I won't be barking up for a while. The other part that here is in this paper is basically, in order to have a dust explosion, a primary dust explosion, you must have a self-propagating flame through the dust cloud. And that's what's missing in this. It doesn't self-propagate through the dust cloud, okay? And so if you don't have self-propagating through the dust cloud, then you're not going to have a primary, then you're not going to have a secondary. Let me stop right here, and then we can, if there's any questions, I can go, and then we'll get Daniel up here. Come up here, Daniel, get your stuff ready. Yeah. Okay.
You're ready.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
I know you've been following this. So obviously there's a problem with the test they're using. We can't be the only ones that are, or maybe we are, I don't know, that are aware of this problem. Are you getting some support from other commodities or from other industries?
We are looking into that because this is going to result in other things being classified as combustible, which they say is the same as explosible. There are some other dust. Now, our focus has been purely on agricultural dust, has not been over there in other areas. But the logic here is not difficult. It's not road scholar science. Okay, if you have 13% of your mass that's flammable, and 87% that's just dirt. I had a soils professor gets mad when he calls it dirt. Soils actually has some flammable stuff in it. Dirt doesn't. Dirt just has no. And what it does is interferes with the self-propagating flame. What this paper does is say, here's how close the particles have to be to get it self-propagated at the MEC. And then if you don't have that, then you're in trouble. Come on, Daniel.
All right.
One more question. Go ahead.
On your chart there where you said MEC, what is MEC?
Minimum explosible concentration. When you're working with dust explosions, and of course we have... typical aggregates. According to ASTM and FDA, you've got to have a spherical chamber and fill it full of dust and all that kind of stuff. Okay, you don't. Okay, you can have a little concentration right here. It's above the MEC. If it's above the MEC, then you'll have a self-propagating flame. If there's a self-propagating flame, you will generate in this 1 cubic foot chamber. I mean, you know, your aggregates, we get 1 cubic foot chamber. We don't have a spherical chamber. And we can burst that diaphragm for any, as long as you're above the MEC. If you're below the MEC, let's say the MEC is 50, and you're at 40 grams cubic meter, nothing happens.
And that's why your distance between the particles.
And this paper is the third paper, and we're in the process of publishing that did that. And I was going to be quick. Daniel, get up here.
Well, you work with stuff. Thank you, Dr. Cornell, for continuing your work on that important issue.